This episode of Creepy Kingdom is brought to you by artist Emma Moiser. Emma's amazing Disney and Haunted Mansion inspired art can be seen in the official t-shirt of the Doom Buggy Spook Show and on her signature blends of tea called A Swinging Wake. Get your very own Hatbox Ghost print by visiting society6.com/Emma Moiser. That's society6.com/Emma Moiser. EMMAMOSIER.
Monster Movie Media presents.
Alrighty, it's time for Foolish Mortals Update number 4. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, host of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, and the director of the upcoming documentary about Haunted Mansion fans, Foolish Mortals. I am joined by Foolish Mortals executive producer, Mr. Ryan Grulich.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me again, James.
The pleasure's all on this side of the podcast.
Aww.
It's the first time I use that one, so I feel honored.
I'm just happy to be here.
Excellent. So, yeah, our last update show was about a month ago, and a lot has happened in this past month, and I'd say this is probably one of the busiest months of production.
Yeah.
A lot of things have been popping.
Wouldn't you say it's probably one of the busiest months of our lives in general?
Yeah, well, there's that. But yes, I'm not going to update everyone what's going on in my life. I just sort of focus on this one thing.
probably for the best.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, it's been a very crazy, crazy month. But you know, we're getting to catch our breath just a moment to fill you everybody in about what we've been doing and what's coming up as we chug along on the Foolish Mortals train. It's like that was a good analogy. But anyways, right off the bat, though, we have some people to thank for getting us through this month, for sure, because we launched our second crowdfunding campaign, the Foolish Mortals Finishing Funds campaign.
And yes, we did. Right. And we've had so much help, right? We need to thank little Nikki, who has been our social media ghoul and really helped propel the posting and all of the social media accounts and keeping us on target with connecting with you guys. And there's a couple other people that were involved in that as well. Sarah Franklin, who helped us edit a bunch of video. John Robinson, who helped us edit some video. And just without those people, we wouldn't have been able to get the message out and accomplish what we have with the fundraising. So we're very grateful for them.
Beyond grateful. I mean, you really summed it up. Like, we wouldn't be able to do it. It literally wouldn't have happened.
Correct.
You know, there's some people that don't need to sleep. I've heard of this before.
I'm not one of them.
I'm not one of those people either. I envy those people, although it might be a torturous hell for them as well. I don't know. But,
most likely.
Like, anyways, I was about to go off on tangents about people that can't sleep or doesn't. But I had to sleep, unfortunately, so I wasn't able to do everything all around the clock. But so, with you know, but yeah, and a lot of people know that I am pretty active on the social media accounts, and I still do chime in there, but Nikki definitely took, you know, grabbed it by the horns and was cranking stuff out every day, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that for anybody launching any type of crowdfunding campaign or really, you know, doing something creative like that, to have, you know, folks like her and the other folks we mentioned in the back, you know, helping us or you in this instance is invaluable. It really is. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's make or break. So,
yeah.
So praises to them for helping us.
Indeed, indeed. So
it takes a village.
It really does, man. It really does. And speaking of the village, you know, we would be remiss not to thank the folks who donated, you know, to our fundraising campaign. and have, you know, been a lot of, I've seen a lot of names come up more than once over the, the stretch of months here. And wow, it's just, it's awesome. It's so cool because without those funds, getting to some of the stuff that's been accomplished in the last month, which we'll cover, would not have happened. So it's just kind of this whole communal, you know, network of people helping propel this film to the finish line. And boy, we're getting close.
No, we're getting close for sure. But I'm glad that you said that because I am, you know, as we're working and, you know, we're trying to get stuff done, we're so busy, all these things. And then to see like these messages come in and say like, I've already donated, but I'm donating again.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah. Just like, wow.
and we saw that more than once. So, you know, it wasn't an isolated incident. That was I see several of those names have popped up more than once. So it's pretty surreal.
But to everyone, no matter what amount you put in, like, and people say, no matter too small, like, this is for real. Like, there is, like, some people are just saying that, you know, we're like, some people put, you know, whatever they could. I mean, I get it, you know, again, I've probably mentioned this before, you know, I've donated what I can to crowdfunding campaigns that I believe in or support. So, but some people have really, really opened their wallets up and are just like, wow. And, you know, I want to personally thank you. I guess it's not personal because it's – but I will personally thank you.
Well, and who knows, you know, we may get the chance to thank everybody as we near, you know, the premiere and all of that stuff. And one of the cool things about this crowdfunding campaign was not just that we were, you know, able to connect with people and engage donations and stuff like that, which is great. But we had this cool idea come up about, you know, putting together a grand prize sweepstakes for our premiere. Mm-hmm. And as we're planning this premiere, we started thinking about, you know, how can we make this a real special gift to the folks that have, you know, contributed. And unfortunately, we're not able to, you know, float taking, you know, all of you out on a cool night on the town to check out the premiere. But we did commit to selecting one, you know, winner at random from the folks who donated and have, you know, engaged with us that way. And so now we're going to maybe be able to meet one of you in person and thank you in person that way. So, James, do you want to talk about the idea behind the sweepstakes and kind of what we're looking at now as far as how we move forward there?
Sure. So, funny enough, you know, we haven't given that much information about it because it's still transforming into an ever-growing organism.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of summed it up for the most part there, is that we wanted to be able to have give someone the VIP experience at our premiere, provide them with accommodations, transport from the accommodations to the premiere so they don't have to worry about where they're going, where they're driving, you know, just to have a good time, you know, getting in early. The reason that we really haven't gotten to the specifics of everything that entails is that we're actually still planning the premiere. So
yes, we have
to,
indeed,
we have to create the you know, the general experience. And then from there, we'll be able to amp up, you know, the VIP experience.
I can tell you that I'm willing to commit with this VIP experience to pre-gaming with anybody there.
Pre-game.
And then they can go, no. They can go drink for drink with me. And if they win, well, then they're the big winner.
Wow.
But yeah.
Well, there is, I was recently in Walt Disney World and I got to go to this brand new bar that's magician themed.
Ooh.
I don't think I told you about this, Ryan.
You didn't.
So yeah, it's very new. It's like a few months old. It's called the Abracadab Bar.
So nice.
All of the drinks have these cool names and all like that. And I went there twice. So one time I got something called the Conjurita, which was like a margarita that they actually they pour it and then they put it back into the thing. I don't know. I'm not a bartender. And then they say Abracadabra and they tap it and then it's a different color. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool.
But the other drink, which the first time I went there, I was like, oh, I have to get this. It was a drink called the Pepper's Ghost, and I was like, well, that is very appropriate for what I'm doing here.
Done deal. Is that a Bloody Mary or something?
No, it actually had pepper in it. That was the weird thing about it. And I was like, well, they were literal here, but it was good. So I feel like we should get some of those going.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just thinking, and this is a good segue. I guess to anybody who's listening, if you are planning on coming to this premiere and you want to, put your two cents in, you can, hit us up on social media with maybe an idea for a signature cocktail for the Foolish Mortals premiere that we can try to cook up. That'd be awesome.
Wow. And actually, funny enough, we don't have all the announcements on that yet, but there's a place that we're thinking about. And that place, I'm telling this to everyone and to Ryan because he doesn't know this yet, is that whenever they have special events, they usually come up with a signature cocktail for that night. So it'd be right in tune with that. It would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm my brain's already spinning. But not because I'm drunk.
Okay. You're like, the room's already spinning. But anyways, we went off track. What were we talking about? Oh, the VIP party. Yeah.
As you can tell, it's going to be a party, basically.
Yes. The VIP party, right? So, yeah, we'll have more information on that soon. But the contest, like, to be able to enter, we had it going for like a month. So anyone that donated to our GoFundMe campaign from October 3rd to November 3rd was eligible to, have a drawing in this contest. And so that time has passed. Unfortunately, if you're just hearing about this right now, I'm sorry.
Wah, wah, wah.
But we have not picked a winner yet. And so right now what we're going to do is we're going to make an announcement. And we're going to announce that in December, that's when we're going to make the announcement.
This is the announcement of the announcement. So, yeah, in December, we are going to announce the grand prize winner, along with all of the details necessary for you to start your planning process for what will be this fun night watching Foolish Mortals live.
Yeah, well, we can't announce everything that's going to be there, but I'm almost positive there'll be a type of Q&A. Hopefully most of the people in the film will be there. So I have a chance to, do that. And I'm sure we'll have some, we'll make a little night out of it. It'll be a little,
absolutely.
It'll be a whole little thing.
It'll be a swinging wake.
Oh boy. I've worked really hard not to talk like that in the production of this film.
Don't just do it. Just go with it. It's almost over now. We can do it.
Okay,
we're good.
All right. Cool. All right. Cool. But anyways,
it's all out there. I want to give people a little bit of behind the scenes on this because I'm a behind the scenes nerd and I know other people are too. And everybody's a something nerd, right? Like a sewing nerd or a military strategy nerd So I just like behind the scenes stuff. I'm not actually a behind the scenes nerd. So anyway, digress. When we made the video for the sweepstakes, my favorite thing literally has been the 1920s impersonation that you did, James, for the voiceover. And I wonder if you could just give us a little taste of that voice right now.
All right. So you're referencing the commercial that we made for the contest.
You're on the spot.
Yeah, you really put me on this. I don't know what to say. That's kind of what it is. I mean, I could do the voice, but I'm like,
just sing.
Just sing. I don't know. We're so talking wait, so about we- foolish morals. I don't know.
Oh man, luxurious accommodations.
Well, it was funny. Anyway. Well, I mean, I was kind of like going for like the old weird way that the voiceovers would be in like the 50s and the 40s, mixed that with a little Robin Leach because it was supposed to be like,
so that. It was great. When I got the voiceover, I was like, oh wow, he did it.
Yeah, that was definitely a, Like, I didn't even, I didn't have a script or, you know, that was totally just freestyled. That was the one take, you know.
And you nailed it. Yeah. And I think that's what's really fun about, and that's some of the stuff that's really fun, you know, like we get focused on the fundraising and on all that stuff. And it is a difficult experience to make a film, but you have so many like hidden gems of like happiness and fun moments on the inside. So I think it's fun to share those too, but that was definitely one of them. And so this sweepstakes was really cool to put on. I think it's a unique way for independent filmmakers to, you know, kind of capitalize on the momentum that a finishing funds campaign could put together. And as you near that date, being able to, you know, offer up something cool like that. So I think that we had fun with it and did a good job. And I'm looking forward to announcing the lucky winner.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. Probably giving that date in our next update, right? So,
we'll announce the announcement next time.
All right. So, but before we get moving forward, I do want to thank also the members of the media who have helped us get this finishing funds campaign popping. And
why don't you give them a read off there?
I will. I want to say this too. This whole Finishing Funds media blitz started with the interview that I did with the LAist.
Yeah.
Juliet from the LAist interviewed me, and it was such a great interview. I mean, of course, I appreciate any press that's been given, especially we had so much press during the Kickstarter last spring. And that was amazing. But this was like, at this point in our production, things were starting to come together, you know, as before. Because when we were doing the Kickstarter, everything was an idea, right?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And now, and as we were starting the finishing funds, like, things were beginning to materialize. There's your pun. But,
thank you.
And when I read it, I was like, wow, this makes me seem like a real live boy. Like, I'm a real person.
You know? I'm a real boy.
Like, I was able to send this to my mother and my parents. And they would be like, they would know, it would make sense to them. Like, they would know what it was, you know, because, you know, they don't know what's going on with all this stuff. They're like, you like Disneyland, right? You know. And my parents sent it to people in my family, like, you know, like,
The boy's making good of himself out there.
Pretty much. Yeah. And it was very personally humbling, this article. Just, but because of this article, all these other media outlets picked up on it. And within days, I had somebody from NBC want to call me and interview me about the documentary. And if that wasn't the boy done good with the LAist, but the NBC.
Like, yeah, that was surreal.
Yeah, I was like, that was pretty humbling. I mean, people throw around the word humbling a lot, but I was like, whew. And it was even funner, which we're going to get to, is when I got this call to do the interview. You know, I was toughing it out in a hurricane in Florida like while it was happening, you know, and, you know, it was one of those things where like, oh, I want to call you. And I'm like, you know, it wasn't really convenient, I'll say that. But I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm taking this call no matter what's going on or where I am. You know?
Right.
So that was incredible. So thank you to NBC Los Angeles for that article. Also, I was on this radio show called After Hours AM, and it was cool because essentially what they were doing was like, all their listeners had all these like Disney urban legends that they heard, and they were like fact checking them with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I even said it during the interview. I was like, well, this is kind of cool that I'm like brought on to be like a Disney expert. Like, I'm like the fact checker here.
you have a PhD for Disney.
If you feed age Disney.
That was terrible. You should edit that out.
No, definitely not.
Okay. Fair enough. But yes, they were asking you all the kind of the Disney urban legends, and I think that that just speaks to kind of where, you know, you're at as a Diz nerd, and, you know, where we come at with the film is, we're into all of that stuff, and we kind of soak it all up, and you're able to speak intelligently about it, and hopefully more of that comes our way.
Oh yeah, no, it was cool. I mean, I'm just talking about my personal experience of that, but I just thought it was cool just to be on like a show that's kind of general. It's not really about anything in particular. I mean, they're kind of like a little edgy. Like, what was the thing that was on before me? It was like Bigfoot conspiracies or something.
Yeah, it was Bigfoot conspiracies, and I was like, huh, this is a unique media outlet for the film.
Yes,
but whatever, right? I mean, it's it was cool though. And personally, little digression, I'm into conspiracy theories and stuff, so I was listening to the Bigfoot thing, and I live in Seattle, so I'm like, he's right around the corner. but yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I think that the three you've touched on so far have been the more interesting bits of press that Foolish Mortals have gotten, really. But all of it goes back to Juliet. And the LAist. I mean, that, yeah. So then you get here and you're in the middle of a hurricane getting all these, you know, requests for attention, and it all just kind of spiraled into that moment. So it was pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight of the production of the film for me. A few more shout outs for press too. The article on the Mary Sue.
Yeah.
I was kind of proud of that because that's a website that I read. If people are not familiar with it, it's kind of a take on, comic book culture, science fiction, maybe a little bit of horror, but not really. But it's kind of from a feminist perspective.
Yeah.
And not that, it's a perspective, and why I enjoy reading their website, that I don't always consider just based on my life, living my life as a male. I don't know. So I enjoy reading it, and just to see something that I did on that website and not being like ripped apart, which was another positive thing. I was like, oh, awesome.
you mean they didn't think that our Haunted Mansion fan documentary was misogynistic at all?
They did not, which I was like, I don't know. It's right in the line. No, it's not.
But yeah. Right. Not one bit, actually.
I mean, if anything, to bring this all together, I think most of the fans that are most passionate, you know, are women. You know, I feel like this is a very very female positive film, if anything. I don't, you know.
Oh no, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I was just making a joke, but right. I think the Mary Sue write-up was good, and it is cool. I mean, they've got a huge following, and it's the right following for us because, you know, like you said, a lot of the audience that has really engaged with this film is female.
So right on. But everybody's all welcome, all good with me.
Absolutely.
Also, boingboing.net I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're all cool, but these are like – that's that website, like – they have to be into it to do it.
Right.
You know?
No, like, there was just a lot of high-profile press on this run.
Also, Nightmares Conjurings. Actually, if you really want to follow the trail of press, it was because of Nightmares Conjurings that Juliet from the LAist was even brought to know that we were doing this. So it really all started with Nightmares Conjurings announcing our crowdfunding campaign.
And this is where our heart warms. This is where our heart chakra is activated for Nightmares Conjurings.
Yeah, full disclosure, it's my girlfriend's website. She's been on the show past few episodes, if you're listening.
And that's why the hearts are so warm. We love you, Shannon.
Yes. And another really cool article that came out was from Belladonna Magazine, which is a actual print magazine from the people that run the website Horror Honeys. And so that was kind of cool to see, like, you know, we grew up with magazines, right? You know, like actual print
magazines. With pages.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, that's cool. And that was a very lovely piece, for sure.
It was. And another you know, not, I wouldn't say, you know, feminist, but another, you know, another female perspective. Yeah, exactly. And that was really cool as well.
Yes. And last but not least, we had you and I, as a team, appeared on the Doom Buggy Spook Show podcast.
Yeah, that happened. It was fun. Halloween episode. I mean, just, yeah, thanks, Jeff Baum. Totally cool.
And I think I kind of said a little bit of this when I posted about it on social media when I shared the episode with all y'all. It was just like Doom Buggies, you know, I mean, I think he said they're about to start it to their 20th year. I mean, before, like, the first time that I had discovered that people care about the Haunted Mansion was discovering the Doom Buggies website on the internet in, like, 97 yep. or 98. You know, before that,
exactly.
you're kind of just isolated, you know?
Yeah.
And I said that to think that I am creating or just a part of something that Doom Buggies would cover was very, yeah. was an honor to me. It really was.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, same here. Exactly. The exposure to so much of, you know, what I'm into with Haunted Mansion came from Doom Buggies at, you know, age 14, 15, 16. And so it's interesting. It was a really cool moment and it was a good interview too. And, I'm just like, I was on cloud nine that it was on the Halloween episode. It made my October.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about stuff that, to be quite honest, I don't know. A lot of it we never talked about anywhere else. So it was definitely a unique interview.
Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't listened to it yet, go check it out.
Thanks to everyone in the media for helping getting the word out. And thank you to the people that had reached. Even the Doom Buggies appearance, people specifically said, I heard about this for the first time on the podcast, and I'm excited about it, so I'm donating money. I mean, yeah. what more can I ask
Outstanding.
For?
Outstanding.
You know, I mean, you know, that's the, and we're all, and the thing about it is like, yeah, we're all in this together, you know, theoretically, right? Because we're all Haunted Mansion fans. So we're like, we're all just trying to get in, you know, make something for all of us here.
Yeah, I think that showed.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
With the press, with the supporters, with the, you know, the folks that helped us get from A to B, getting thanked, we can kind of segue into what, you know, the last month since the last update really covered. And mm-hmm. I mean, where to start, but the Hurricane Matthew situation and, you know, traveling out to Florida. So tell us a little bit about how you survived that and what your Florida adventure was really like.
Well, so we went to Florida by myself and Shannon. She was going to cover Spooky Empire, which is their huge horror convention they have there. And so she wasn't going to be there the whole time with me because she's not helping me make the film. So, but we're like, oh, let's go to Spooky Empire together. Let's go a few days early. We can go to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando, and, you know, then once all that's over, she'll go home and I'll interview people. That was the plan. and it's kind of good that was the plan, the way the things worked out, because We flew in like 2 days before the hurricane hit.
Yeah, you flew in when the media hype was really saying everything was going to HE double hockey sticks.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was like, "Are you seriously going to Orlando right now?"
And you were like, "Full tilt boogie."
Very appropriate phrase for today. But definitely. You know, here's my take on it, and I said this to people that have asked me about it too. Number one, we were totally safe. We were totally fine. Most of the damage and the hit was on the coast, and Orlando is not on the coast. It's in the middle of the state.
Right.
So the worst things that we were going to have to deal with was really power outages, which we did not have to deal with at all. But the point I've been saying, since we were there early, we were there to do some fun activities. So it didn't. The hurricane itself didn't stop the making of the documentary. It did cause crazy rescheduling to have to go down.
Well, yeah, because I mean, as soon as people hear storm, the dynamic changes completely, and so you're instantly getting flooded with these emails and texts and stuff about, you know, how they're going to have to move it around, or they're headed for the hills. So yeah, I mean, it really threw a wrench in those first few days, and it didn't look good, even from where I was sitting, you know, just keeping an eye on stuff with you. I mean, just I was like, oh man, this could go bad. So, but in the end, it didn't, right? You know, and you were able to connect with.
There was a few people that didn't work out, but I forget the numbers off the top of my head. But I believe there was 11 interviews scheduled, and I did 9,
which is awesome and a testament to the perseverance and people's desire to be in the film. And luckily, nobody, you know, in our immediate, you know, connection range here was impacted too badly by the storm. And they were able to show up.
Well, there was people that did actually have damage to their homes and didn't have power, and still came to Orlando to do the interview. And I was just thinking, like, wow. I was like, dude, like,
that's ride or die.
Yeah. And I guess also for me too, why I wasn't worried, I guess, about like beforehand was, number one is I survived Hurricane Sandy in New Jersey a few years ago.
Yep.
Where, you know, didn't have like power, running water for 2 weeks, you know, and that really, really toughens your skin up as far as these things go.
And I think it also gives you a level of empathy with, you know, people that are looking at having to deal with stuff like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So And you're a sweetheart anyway, but, aww, you know, I think that it allowed you to connect with them, and, you know, all of the best wishes we were sending out to everybody, and just, you know, kind of that the cool, even tone with it probably helped keep them in the mode of, hey, let's show up and get this movie made. But it's awesome that it worked out as well as it did.
Yeah, no, I mean, and the thing about it too is whenever there's some kind of tragedy or natural disaster and their lives are disheveled.
Yeah.
I found through my experience going through that having something like the podcast you like listening to put on and like check out for an hour, like,
right,
makes a huge difference.
Yeah. It's something that keeps you going. Something that reminds you there's more than the negative stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, toot our own horns or something, but I just know from being a listener that it's important to provide the content, and not that the podcast particularly, but I could tell that the people like that were dealing with stuff, that it was a welcome break in their life to come do this.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah. That's sweet. So out of your journeys there, let's give a couple of capstone moments, you know, for you during the Florida trip, as far as the interview subjects, mm-hmm, and the actual production of the film. Anything stick out now in hindsight? I know it's a bit of a hurricane of mental activity, if you will, but anything stick out?
Well, number one, and this isn't just Orlando, this is just across the board, really. You know, making this film is a lot of hard work, you know, and at times it's a grind, you know. So, I mean, I know you know, right? I'm just a listener.
I'm actually interviewing you right now, so I don't know anything.
Oh, okay, sorry, I forgot. We'll play that role. So it's tough, and you know, I mean, I've inflicted it upon myself, and that's for sympathy. I'm just saying that sometimes you forget what it is you're even doing. You know, like you're just so thick of it. But when I sit down with a complete stranger and talk about the Haunted Mansion,
yeah,
is like, I'm like, this is amazing. Like every time I get giddy, like I'm like, and that's just my kind of my personal experience of it. Like just kind of going like, it's got really nothing to do with the film itself, but it's just kind of like, it's like, this is like, I love this. Like this is,
yeah,
this is incredible. You know, that I'm afforded, and I'm just meeting, I'm making so many new friends, you know, like, it's, and just being able to have this opportunity, whether it's at a location that we stage and people show up or people inviting me into their homes.
Right.
You know, and I get to kind of really be in their space and be like, I'm like, well, if I wasn't making this documentary, I would not have this experience, you know, like, you know, so it's, that's one thing I could take away. And I really felt it. I mean, I felt it everywhere I've done it, but I was really feeling it in Orlando, maybe because I was just so far away from home.
Right.
You know, and just to travel so far and connect with so many local people, I guess, because usually when you're on vacation, you don't really connect with local people, you know, you just with your friends or family or whatever. So, so that was a highlight. Another highlight for me was being able to interview Jason Sorrell.
Mm.
For those who are not familiar with him, he's a former Imagineer. He literally wrote the book on the Haunted Mansion, the official books that Disney has put out about the history of the Haunted Mansion. He wrote them. I asked him how it came to be, you know, he pitched the idea and to his boss.
And who was?
I don't know. It's in the documentary. but the point, actually, I do know. But anyways, I just remember. But that's irrelevant. I was going to say that he pitched the idea because he wanted the book to exist. But he didn't work in the book department. He worked in Imagineering. And his boss was like, send it to this department. And then they're like, sure, put a proposal together. He's like, great, how do I do that? You know, like, and then he found out what he needed to do that. And then they're like, all right, sure, whatever. I mean, that was pretty much like the way he said it. And I'm just like, that is incredible. Like, Jason Terrell is a Haunted Mansion fan that got it in on the inside. You know, like, yep. You know, he also is responsible for enhancements that have gone to the mansion, particularly ones in Walt Disney World. He created the Madame Leota headstone with the moving eyes. That was his idea. He made it happen. So just those two things alone, that was incredible. To be able to just – that was kind of one of the interviews where it was like, I'm just asking this guy questions I want answered, right? Like it wasn't – I didn't have to think too hard about the questions, you know.
They just came organically.
Yeah, I was just – I just wanted to talk to this guy personally. But that's still cool because I'm, you know, because I'm a fan, right? So it still works for the film, right?
Well, absolutely. I think that's stuff fans want to know, and I think his involvement is really cool.
Yeah, that was incredible. He invited me to his home, which was very nice of him because you can be like, I don't know, who's this guy coming over to my house?
He's got a really good social media presence. I think I can trust him.
Yeah, I don't know. but that was very cool. And let's see, another cool experience too was a lot of people that we couldn't go to their homes for various reasons. So, you know, we rented a space and that being, like, I love both have their pros and cons for production, but having a place set up where people are just like filing through to be interviewed is like, it's a constant rush because you're like, who's coming? What are they going to say? What's going to happen? I don't know.
Right.
You know, like, it's very exciting. And like I said, I just made so many new friends, you know, from the experience. It was, I loved it. It was hands down the best trip I've ever taken to Orlando. just for me personally.
Awesome. Awesome. So you survived Hurricane Matthew. You got 9 out of 11 interviews. You wrap it up. You head back to California, dragging tail, totally exhausted from an awesome experience. And then immediately almost within a matter of a few days, you turn around and head out to Las Vegas to take on that.
So before you get to Vegas, don't forget what I actually did right when I came home.
I've already forgotten.
I know, there's so much going on. Right after I came home, there was an unofficial day at Disneyland, which was Haunted Mansion Fashion Day. And so I figured, I should probably go there, even though we're not filming in the park. But I wanted to see if I could meet some of the people and see if they'd be willing to meet up with me off-site to film some stuff. And logistically, that didn't really work out too well. We found a place. It didn't really work and whatever. But, I met some cool people. I don't know. And maybe they'll be in the film in the future. But no. This one woman had an amazing car. She had like a PT Cruiser down the outside. It was pretty – looked like a regular car. But she had kind of tricked out the inside to be like super Haunted Mansion themed.
That's awesome.
So, I got to check out her car and, I got, that was just kind of I did that kind of on the fly, but I think I remember telling Ryan about it was that I was there, I was filming it. It was late. I had literally gotten home the day before. And at some point I just hit this massive wall where I was like, I physically and mentally have no more to give. I was like, I need to go home and recharge. So then I went to work the next day because I unfortunately, making this documentary is not the only thing that I have to do. So I kind of dealt with that while I was preparing for a few days after that to go to Las Vegas. So that's what we did after that.
Absolutely. And then so tell us a little bit about Las Vegas. What did you do out there?
So the purpose of the trip was to spend some time, get some footage, some interviews with the main subject of our film, artist Topher Adam, and get go into his home and just see how he lives and what he's doing and all the great, amazing, magical things that he's up to in there. And it was pretty incredible. I was actually able to sneak in another interview with another person while I was there. And again, that experience it wasn't the main reason I was there. I was like, oh, well, this person's in Vegas. Why don't I try to squeeze out some time to go do it? Not really knowing what to expect. And just another like awesome personal connection, walking into someone's amazing home with all this incredible art. And I'm just like, I'm the luckiest person on earth that I just get access to all these people in their homes and their awesome art and all this stuff. So it was really cool. But back to Topher. If for some reason you're not familiar with Topher Adam at this point, I don't know why. Because he's, I'm not going to be judgmental, and not everyone hears about everything, I know. But this is, now here's your call, all right? There's your chance.
Check him out.
He's an artist. When you think of someone as an artist, like, oh, do you draw pictures? Do you paint?
Which he does.
He does. But I was going to say, every single artistic medium this man does. And excels at it.
Yeah. I was like, well.
Everything. Like, I was blown away. Like, every type of drawing, whether by pencil, paint, watercolors, on iPads. He's got all that covered.
And I think that, even dovetailing, from the very beginning with meeting Topher and working him into this film, his website is imafoolishmortal.com. And he is a foolish mortal, and he has such an intimate relationship with the Haunted Mansion in particular that a lot of his artwork revolves around that in different mediums and has that kind of, spooky feel. And his visual art in particular, I mean, he's covered so much of the Haunted Mansion in his images and pieces that he's just a turnkey fit for the film. And so I'm kind of curious, you know, you got a glimpse into his creative process while you were down there. Was there anything that you left with as kind of like, aside from just the scope of what he does, is there anything you left with from your experience with Topher that sticks out?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure this will be in the film too. Why not? We're all friends here.
Yeah. But
was that since I had the opportunity to spend, you know, a few days with him, I had time at night to kind of process what I experienced and come up with some thoughts about it and be able to revisit it the next day. And I remember, and I asked him that, and I asked him I asked him the specific question. I said, do you constantly create Haunted Mansion inspired art because you don't want to mentally leave the Haunted Mansion?
Mm. Wow.
And he's like, I never thought about that, but I'm sure that's the case. And I was like, right on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you just take one look at his portfolio, I mean, it pretty much says it.
Just to clarify, he's constantly creating Haunted Mansion art in various different mediums. And the internet doesn't even see half of what he's doing.
No. When I was in Vegas with him, he pulled out his iPad and we were sitting in the MGM Grand and he just like starts flipping through all of these images. And I mean, some of them I had never seen before and I'd been looking at his artwork because we were going to work with him and doing background and stuff. And it's just insane. I mean, the stuff he does is unreal. And the other thing that I found really interesting about Topher was how quickly he does this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the level of skill that he executes in the speed that he does it at is just mind-boggling. So if you're a slow creative and you're really a perfectionist and you take your time and you labor over things, this is the kind of guy that makes you go, he's so good. He's just so good. It's awesome. It's like watching a virtuoso. So I think that I'm really excited to see how he plays out in the film. And I'm glad to hear you had a good time out there. I mean, I guess, you know, you touched on one other component of your trip to Vegas that was pretty heartwarming story. I think it's worth sharing here. Hmm. You were able to go in and interview, you know, the other artist, and you can probably speak to the experience you had when you left.
Oh, yes, of course. So the artist, he was a street artist. And he goes by the name You Killed Me First, but he incorporates a lot of Haunted Mansion imagery into what he does. And a lot of his significant other, girlfriend, I don't know if it was his wife or girlfriend. I'm sorry. I don't recall at the moment. But so I walk into their home, and she wasn't there, but because it was covered in art, and I could see, you know, his style of art. And I saw this other art. And I just assumed he did it. And I said, oh, I like this. He's like, oh, you know, my girlfriend did it. We're going to do that and all this stuff. So I was like, and then very clearly after a little while, I was able to separate who did what by the style. And a lot of pop culture mashups, references, a lot of cool stuff on the walls. A lot of original designs as well. But there was this one piece that I just kept staring at, and I was obsessed with it. I'm actually literally staring at it right now, which is funny because I have it right in front of me at my desk. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, put it up on the Creepy Kingdom page so people can see it.
It's such a specific thing that people would respond to this in 2016. You know, mm-hmm. not everybody, but essentially what it was is that it was a painting of Marilyn Manson and the members of Marilyn Manson in the classic days, not whoever's, you know.
Whatever. The Spooky Kids.
The Spooky Kids, yeah, if you're familiar with that. I mean, it's literally what it is. And it's them as Star Wars characters, but particularly Marilyn Manson as Jabba the Hutt, Swiggy... as Slave Leia. You know, I just literally just kept staring at this, and I mean, at first I was like, that is amazing, and then I'm like we were talking and we were gone, and then I'm like, I just have to say again, that is absolutely incredible. I'm just like, I shot video of it or, you know, took a picture just so I could like remember it. You know, I'm just like, this is so cool. So I'm getting ready to leave and he's texting his girlfriend who wasn't there. He's like, oh, hold on. I just made text my girlfriend. And then he's like, oh, I just asked my girlfriend if you can have this painting. And she said, yes. So here you go. He takes it off the wall and puts it in my hands. This is a painting. Like, this isn't a print. Like, I could see paint strokes on this canvas.
Yeah.
These people are artists. Like that's how they make their living. You know what I mean? Like, this is what they do. And it just handed me this. Yeah, I mean, he also gave me other of things of his art as well, which I was like, whoa, wow, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. But, you know, to take this off the wall and hand it to me, like, I was so humbled. I was like, I feel like I'm going to get teary-eyed here. I was just like, the fact that he was like, we believe in what you're doing with this film. You know, we don't have a lot of money to contribute, but, you know, we do have our art.
Yeah.
And
I love that story. It's to me that those are the stories that, you know, it's those things that really stick out to me. And I mean, you know, watching the dailies and seeing interviews and you know, knowing what we're going to come out with here is great. But I think that it's those stories along the journey that really speak to the culture that surrounds the group of people that we've been working with, and our supporters and our followers. And I'm glad you shared that. That's really nice.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing it up. Cause I wasn't going to talk about it, but
yeah,
I guess
that's good.
I guess it's a, that's something.
So then you wrap up Sin City after this heartfelt moment and the experience with Topher.
This heartfelt Sin City trip.
Hey, there's always the hooker with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
I would just like to say that this Foolish Mortals update is sponsored by Redline Ultimate Energy Rush drink, which you are not supposed to drink if you have psychiatric problems. It says here right on the bottle. But I'm still drinking it.
Okay.
So,
well,
there's that.
Well, I'm waiting on that check from them since they're sponsoring this episode.
Yeah. they're sending it to me. I'm just buying more Redline.
Oh, okay.
just FYI.
That's fine.
So you leave Vegas. You leave Sin City, not completely, you know, draining the future little James's college fund. And you head back to California.
I gambled $20. Okay.
hey, everybody's a winner. You head back to Los Angeles and probably hit your wall again.
Probably.
And what's been going on since Vegas?
Well, we're gearing up to kind of tackle Southern California.
Yeah.
Our initial plan was to be done with it by now, but.
Yep.
Yeah, what are you going to do, huh? So if there's anyone listening that is waiting to hear from me that lives in Southern California, hold on tight because I'm coming. but another subject is a better word, of our film.
Correct.
Because it's not a fiction. But she's kind of a character. We're going to be spending some time with the woman behind Beyond the Poison Apple. She goes by Mansion Maid. She is the woman you will see on our avatar and all of our, you know, once we did our finishing funds, we kind of relaunched with some new images. You know, that's her. And so I actually spent some time earlier this week and actually earlier today of this recording filming with her. And so she kind of has two things she's bringing to the table. She runs an Etsy store called Beyond the Poison Apple, where she creates a bunch of Haunted Mansion and Disney villains-inspired crafts and prints and pins and vintage bottle labels and all this stuff. Her stuff is incredible.
And she's a great sponsor of Foolish Mortals.
Yes. She's like pretty much every post that she makes, she puts in a proud sponsor of Foolish Mortals.
Yeah.
So she's been a great ally to have working on the film as well. But yeah, her stuff is so good that Disneyland actually bought some of her stuff to put into a Halloween attraction a few years back. So we're like, don't take my word for it. You know, like,
yep.
So I thought that was pretty incredible. So she has her store, and that's one element of what she does. But she also is a Haunted Mansion cosplayer. And she doesn't do straight cosplays. She kind of does a little bit of Disney bounding, which is taking on that or mixing with things. And depending on what the event is, sometimes she does just straight horror stuff. But she creates all of her things, and also her young daughter as well.
Yeah, and it's cute.
So. I documented her creating her outfits, her whole family's outfits for Dapper Day, which is the day of this recording. And if you're not familiar with that day, it's twice a year. It's an unofficial Disneyland day, and I believe they have it once a year in Walt Disney World at Hollywood Studios. Where people kind of dress up like 50s style. That's the Cliff Notes version of it. trying to harper back to the day when people used to dress up in the 50s and 60s when they went to Disneyland. That's kind of how it started. But it's kind of about being vintage more than anything. So last Dapper Day, she kind of made a 50s-style stormtrooper outfit, which was pretty incredible. But this year, or this Dapper Day, she was going all Haunted Mansioned out there, and for her entire family, her husband and her young daughter, she was dressed as a tightrope walker. Her daughter was a dapper hatbox ghost, which was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
At least so. But yeah, working with Rose and spending time with Rose is it's pretty awesome. You know, like she's been a great ally of the film, and she's a very interesting person. Like I said, she is a character herself.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it literally brings us to today, where we're having this podcast, is that's all very fresh. And so, you know, like you said, Southern California, here we come to film, you know, this next, you know, bit of time here, and putting that finishing march towards the completion of the project. I think we should probably talk about the Finishing Funds campaign and what's next and how people can stay in the loop. We obviously should, you know, address the elephant in the room fundraising wise that we didn't hit our total goal with our Finishing Funds campaign, although, you know, we did really well, and we're grateful for every bit of it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So we're going to be announcing right now how we're going to move forward there. James, do you want to run with it, or?
Yeah, let me pass the ball and run down the field.
Go, buddy, go.
Anyways, so a lot of people were confused about what we said, that the contest was ending on November 3rd. They thought that the GoFundMe was going to go away, and because that's kind of how the Kickstarter culture is, that people are getting
right
to figure out. But GoFundMe kind of lives on until you hit your goal.
Can still give there.
Yeah. So we're still trying to hit our goal. At record time, we're at $2,410, and our goal is $4,060. It's a very specific number. You can tell we're not just making these up. Because if we were just making up, we just would have said 4,000, right? But we're like,
unless we're just making up a specific number.
Oh, boy. Man, we're just
devil's advocate. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Anyway, so that's still going to remain.
Hold on. Just the infographic completely dispels that. It actually lines out every single thing we're asking for.
That's true. Right. Use your calculators. Add it up. But anyways. We still need to raise these funds. So there's no point in taking this down here. Some of our supporters over the past summer that have helped us out have contributed by purchasing things in our Etsy store, which we have put on vacation during this campaign, so we put all the focus on this. So for the time being, the GoFundMe will be our sole way that people can help us out. And we're still figuring some things out behind the scenes here, right? But we have a new item
that yes, we do.
That will be available in the Etsy store when it launches. That we are.
And it's going to be cool.
It's going to be awesome. that we're getting together right now.
It will be a limited edition release of a super sweet item that is film specific. That you will be able to get, you know, while supplies last. And when we are ready to announce that, we will announce the announcement. But I think, as soon as that happens, the Etsy store reopens.
Yeah, I feel like our next time we get together, we're gonna have to come with these dates. People are gonna not want to be left waiting for to hear the announcement of the announcement of the announcement.
hey, we're a small thing here, you know.
Well, they'll
be okay.
I know. Well, I do want to actually – that's a good point you bring up there too, is say like, yeah, that we're – even though we're very professional and we're working really hard and really focused, you know.
It's just us and some fans that are trying to help. And
yeah. And
so with that, our hesitancy to give out dates is more centered around making sure that we're telling you the truth.
Right.
Know that all these things are coming, and they're coming soon, and they're in the works. But until we have guaranteed stuff to say, we just kind of want to hint to it.
That's all we're doing. But so that's coming in the future. But in the meantime, everything that's in the GoFundMe is still available besides the entering in the contest.
You know, yep.
Pre-ordering the DVD, which I feel like if you're going to do anything, that's the thing to do, right? Because if you want to watch it at some point, then it's a win-win. You know,
yeah.
You help us make it, and then you get to own it. When it exists.
Pre-order the DVD now, and you won't be disappointed when you get it.
That's a Ryan Grulick guarantee.
Fresh off the car lot.
You won't be disappointed.
You'll make it at least 60 miles.
All right. Well, what's cool though is that every contribution over $10, you get, no matter what, you get access to the streaming. So you could watch it that way as well. So, but,
yeah, who has a DVD player anymore?
I know, right? Some people might. Most
very well could.
Most laptops don't have them. I mean, my laptop doesn't have one.
Anyway, digress.
Yeah, we don't need to like discredit or convince people not to buy our DVD. But but the bonus features, yeah. You know, everyone's about the streaming, but the real fans want the bonus features.
Absolutely. And what are the bonus features?
Shut up. We're not even done making the movie, and you're like, we're going to commit to bonus features?
I'll do the truffle shuffle.
All right, that's one of the bonus features.
Bam.
I will say our Q&A from our premiere should most definitely be a bonus feature, right?
Now we're just brainstorming.
Yeah, if you don't want to listen to this brainstorm. Anyway, so... Yeah, for everyone that's contributed, obviously, we thank you. If everyone that thought about it and doesn't want to, or maybe they're like, I don't know. Oh, these guys got it. We're like, we're still asking.
We
don't have it.
These guys not even a little bit. Help us out.
Anyways, so that's that. So that's kind of where we are with everything. I think it's
also fair to say it's been a really great experience. We're very tired, and people can probably tell this just by this Sunday afternoon podcast recording that we're making, because we literally have no other time throughout the week between, you know, managing and filming and living our lives and trying to get this thing made, that we're giving every ounce of free time we have to it. And we are tired. We are near the finish line. And we still do need support to get it done. But I think that, you know, where we're at right now is just in a spot of gratitude, really grateful for everybody contributing.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You said it perfectly. But I think the overall theme here is that with this particular project, it's kind of like everything comes full circle, because it's about the fans, for the fans, by the fans, right? So it's just like it all comes together. Like if we were making a movie about something else and it wasn't about who we're reaching out to,
yeah,
then it would be a different scenario where it's just like, thanks for helping us. And it's kind of over like a one-way street kind of thing. But I feel like this is kind of like the love and gratitude is just like a never ending circle. You know?
Yeah. You know? That's what's been so rewarding about the whole experience, really.
Definitely keeps us going. I mean, I could speak on your behalf on that one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think somebody asked me, I don't know who it was. I think it was when the Kickstarter didn't meet its goal, like asking if I was going to quit or.
Yeah, do we stop now?
Or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's an option?
Yeah. It's like, never been one.
I've never considered that.
Yeah. It's never been one.
And that's what, separates the. The somethings. I don't know. The ghosts for the mortals. I don't know.
Well played. Back to that tired statement.
Yeah. That separates the ghost from the mortals.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that's one heck of an update. Foolishmortalsdoc.com. That's where everything is at. Our GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com/foolishmortals. That's how you can help out. Follow us on social media. Foolish Mortals on Facebook. Foolish Mortals Doc on Facebook. Foolish Mortals Doc on Instagram. Foolish Mortals D on Twitter. Can I tell you how much it bugs me I couldn't get Foolish Mortals Doc on Twitter?
Semantics.
Yeah. Because people are like, Foolish Mortals D?
It's the D version.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, we're all over the place. We're there. Come at us. You know where to find us. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, you're a beast.
Until next time.
Say.